Well, welcome to Lessons from Leaders, Conversations with Direct Sales Experts. I'm Beth Joan Shaw, founder and president of Spirit of Success Incorporated. Our goal at Spirit of Success is to provide you with fresh, relevant topics to support your direct sales career. And today I am thrilled to have three top direct sales leaders with me to share their advice on Events Are Us, how to have success at exposure events. These three leaders are exactly the experts that you want to hear from because their advice comes from their personal, real-life, boots-on-the-ground experiences with participating in a variety of exposure events and vendor fairs. I'm excited for you to learn from their experiences today, so be prepared to take notes and then take action on all that you will hear. Let me begin by introducing you to our three direct sales experts. First, let me introduce you to Kay Thibodeau. Kay lives near Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Kay is a manager with Dove Chocolate Discoveries. She's been with Dove Chocolates for almost 4 years now, and Kay has a direct sales experience over 30 years, so she has a wealth of experiences and lessons learned to help us with. Kay with Dove Chocolates is a manager, and she has 60 members on her team. She currently holds the position as number one in sales in all of Dove Chocolate Discoveries, and she has been in the top 10 in personal sales, in sponsoring, in number of parties held for the past 2 years, and in the top 10 with her team's group volume as well. Kay has earned both incentive trips that Dove Chocolates has offered for both herself and her husband. She has been a general session speaker at the President's Leadership Conference, and she also received the very first Spirit of Celebration Award through Dove Chocolates for her willingness to mentor others. Kay founded a local networking and support organization for direct sellers in 2003 and led that group for 8 years. Kay's also been a member of local chambers and managing director of eWomen Network and is currently a member of BNI and the Direct Selling Women's Alliance. On a personal level, Kay is married to her sweet husband, Robert, for almost 19 years. They have three daughters, one near them in Minneapolis area, one in Texas, and one that is a junior in high school. And they have two grandsons who live in Texas. Kay says that Dove is her income-producing activity so that she can volunteer the majority of her time in a local crisis pregnancy center, sharing her love for the Lord and for women and for their children. And Kay definitely enjoys what she calls the sweet life with Dove. So Kay, welcome to our conversation.
Well, thank you so much, Beth. I am really excited to be here this morning.
Well, our next direct sales expert is Cheryl Sandquist. Cheryl lives near Akron, Ohio. She is a leader with the Michi Company of Purses and Accessories. Now, Cheryl's been with Michi for 6 years, but Cheryl has 10 years in direct sales experience. Cheryl has 318 people on her team. Cheryl was a national trainer with Michi. She's trained at breakout sessions at two national conferences and two mini conferences. Cheryl's also been a member of the Michi Advisory Board for 3 years, and Cheryl also was a member of the Transition Committee in 2011. Cheryl's been a top 10 distributor for 4 years running. On a personal level, Cheryl is married to her sweet husband, Todd, and they have two daughters, Katie, who's age 20 and is a student at Bowling Green State University, and Kylie, who's age 13. So Cheryl, welcome to our conversation today.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here, Beth.
And our third direct sales expert on our panel today that you'll hear from is Dawn Corey. Dawn lives near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She is a region leader with Party Light. Dawn's been with Party Light for 17 years, but her direct sales experience spans 30 years in the profession. Dawn has 40 members on her central unit and 125 members total in her downline. Dawn's team and personal sales recognition has been in the top 10 for the past 5 years running, and she has received the very prestigious Sylvia Award, 10 of them, which is Party Light's highest achievement for personal sales of over $100,000 per year for 10 years. On a personal level, Dawn is married to Reach for 33 years, and they have two adult children. So Dawn, welcome to our conversation.
Thank you so much, Beth. Thanks for giving me the privilege to share.
Well, exposure events, as we know, such as craft shows and county fairs and vendor fairs and women's expos are all wonderful avenues to expose your business to a larger number of people in your target market, which for most direct sellers are women ages 30 to 60 years old. And then exposure events are a great avenue to meet those folks and expand your business. We know that they're available year-round, but we find that spring and summer can be a busy time of year for exposure events to be held, and because of that, we thought today's topic to be a timely one. Our experts today come ready to share tips from their own experiences, as I mentioned before, to help you make the most of your exposure event opportunities wherever and whenever they are. But one caveat that I do want to mention at the top of this call, please, please do consult your individual company's policies and procedures regarding exposure events. Check with your upline leader and with your company's compliance department before implementing any of the ideas that you hear mentioned on today's call. Different companies vary on what they will and will not allow when it comes to public events. So again, please be sure that you are in compliance with your company's policies. So to kick off our conversation on exposure events, let's first go to Kay. Kay, you've been in direct sales for over 30 years, and you have participated in a multitude of events in that time. So please get our conversation started today by sharing your lessons learned on how you first determine your goals and your focus as you are considering participating in an event.
Oh, Beth, I'm so happy to do that. You know, I have to say, when you said I've been in direct selling for over 30 years, just so everybody knows, I did start when I was 2. And during that time frame, I have done a number of events, everything from just participating in Women Network events to doing county fairs, to doing back-to-back county fairs. So lots and lots of opportunities that I've been involved in. But one of the things that really draws me when I'm talking to people about exposure events is helping them to determine why they are doing it to begin with. You have to really focus in on what's your why for doing that event. So I always look at three different things. First of all, are you looking for individuals to join you in your business? In other words, are you looking for new team members? The second thing you need to look at is your home party calendar for the next 2 months just a little bit emptier than you would like it to be. In other words, you're looking for those home parties. And the third thing you need to look at is, are you in need of additional sales this month? Well, I always tell my team members that if your focus for doing an event is to get additional sales this month, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You need to get on the phone instead. You're going to make more sales by providing good customer service, and you'll get those additional sales this month. Your focus for any event that you should do should always be looking for new people to join your team or booking your calendar. If you do make any sales at the exposure event, I just call that gravy. So of course, while we're looking at it also, you need to figure out when you're looking at exposure events, there's usually a cost involved. And so you need to figure out how much does that booth space cost? What is it worth to you? First of all, is it in your budget? I always say that a general rule of thumb in the event, it should not cost more than $5 to $10 an hour. Of course, you also have to account for the value of your time. So if you're going to be at an exposure event from 9 to 3, that's 6 hours. Okay, you could be doing 2 home parties during that time frame. Are you going to make enough off of that booth in that 6 hours to account for those 2 home parties that you have lost out on? Or if you're doing a week-long event, I mean, those county fairs can be very grueling when you're talking about 12-hour days, 7 days in a row, especially if you're working the booth space by yourself. So take a look at what the value of your time is, what the value of what the cost of that booth is, and will that generate enough business for you to accommodate that cost? Never, ever do an event in lieu of doing a home party.
Amen.
Your home party is where your money is. So, mm-hmm. Or, you know, is it more beneficial for you to be on the phone for 2 hours making 20 to 30 customer service calls? Think about that. Exposure events are great when you're completely out of leads and really need to, or maybe need to tap into a new market, but your home party is where it's at. The third thing that I always look at, too, is what's your target market? What's the target market for the attendees of that exposure event? So if that exposure event is for the senior community, say 55 or 65 plus, and your target market is 30 to 55, why would you do it? You know, that's not your target market. Or if your target market is 30 to 55 and this is an exposure event that's really geared toward the 20 to 30-somethings, you know, that don't have a lot of spendable cash and are really there just for the party, is that really where you want to spend your money? So those are the main tips that I want to share kind of to start with.
Well, that's and I think it's so good that we help people to think before they take that step, to really plan well, to have a good strategy when they are targeting different exposure events. So good advice on that. When, Kay, they are at an exposure event, what are some things that you have done and that you recommend with regard to the drawings to get people's names and keeping your display, you know, organized and simple and such? What have you done?
Well, great question, Beth. First of all, I just always keep my display very, very simple. I don't bring the whole house. I don't bring every product that we own. Because I'm in a food business, we actually have things a little bit different here in Minnesota. We have to have a food handler's license if we are to sell products or even take orders for products. So when I do an event, I bring empty boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of fun. And all I'm there to do is to book parties and to find new team members. So how I get people interested is I do a drawing, but it's always something that doesn't cost me a lot of money, but it's still enticing. So usually what I would do is I would give away a free chocolate tasting party. Now, the customer doesn't really understand that it's free anyway, but what it means when somebody asks me that question is, I always tell them, that means I bring all the paper goods too. I bring the cups, I bring the plates, I bring the napkins, in addition to all the samples that I would normally bring. So I give away a free party. Or you can give away a gift certificate so that if they spend $50, they get $10 off, something like that, something that entices them to sign up. But I never leave a sign-up at my booth with the drawing slip sitting out. That's just a recipe for disaster. If you end up with all of these names, and nobody's really interested in what you have to offer. They just want the free stuff. So what I do is I will keep the drawing slips close to Beth. I have a little clipboard that I keep them on. And as people are drawn into my booth and I start talking to them, I say, would you be interested in signing up for a free chocolate tasting party that I'm giving away? And they'll be like, oh, sure. So I'll hand in the drawing slip to fill out. And while they're doing that, I can talk to them. I can find out, you know, what's their favorite kind of chocolate, what do they do, do they have kids, get a little bit more information about them. And then when they're finished filling it out, I'll look at it, and I have a little checkbox that says, yes, they're interested in hosting a party. I'll say, if you win the party, what month would be better for you, June or July? And they'll give me that, and then I know when to follow up with them. I also make notes on the back of that drawing slip before I put it in my drawing bag. That way, when I call them back, I know who they are. You know, I make little notes like, had two cute kids with them, sons in baseball, just things like that. So it makes it more personal. And then the last thing that I do on my drawing slips is I really focus in on my target market. So I have found that my best target market is 30 to 55.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had added age brackets to my drawing slips. So one will say 21 to 29, one says 30 to 55, and the other one says 55 plus. And I also have added a checkbox for fundraising. So those are just some key points that I do that way.
That's excellent, and I really appreciate the fundraising box. I'm not sure all of us would have thought of that. And it's interesting that you do the age brackets so that you have that opportunity to kind of follow up and know a little bit more about that. Just some interesting things there that, again, can get people thinking, because the point is you want to talk with people, but you also want to be able to follow up with people. And ideally it is about, as you said, booking the shows. And when you give a free party away, well, yeah, parties are free, but you're bringing even all the paper goods and everything. So really is free. I know, Kay, that you have a product that could be sampled, but you mentioned, not to sample. And I think, too, to keep in mind that in certain areas, there are health codes that may restrict food sampling. So our listeners need to be really careful of local health department regulations on any kind of sampling at all. So I know that you would give them that that advice.
Well, and I always tell people, I say, for me, and this varies, whatever food company you're selling with, some people are really, you have to sample. That's the only way you can get people into the booth. It's the only way you're going to get leads. I always tell people, I said, if you're sampling, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. that's what the tasting party's for. If somebody walks into my booth and says, where are the samples? I look at them and I say, I would love to bring whatever you want to your tasting party. When would you like to hold that?
And again, keeping in mind that that is the purpose, and so that helps you have your purpose. But and again, as I mentioned, there could be some very serious ramifications if you're not aware of health department code regulations where that wouldn't even be permissible. So always checking in those areas. One last thought, Kay, that you might have on follow-up after the event. It's so important that when we schedule events that we don't just schedule the event, but that we also schedule time for follow-up, because if we don't, we've kind of almost wasted our time and money.
Right, you've wasted your time and money. And I will tell you, in the 30-some years that I've been doing this, there are many events that I have done where I sit 2 months later and I'm still looking at my stack of drawing slips because I didn't budget the follow-up time. So my general rule of thumb for that is you need to be able to spend an hour on the phone for every 4 hours that you were at the event. Okay? And you have to do that within 48 to 72 hours after the event ends.
So say that again, an hour on the phone.
An hour on the phone for every 4 hours that you were at an event. And it has to be done within 48 to 72 hours after the end of the event.
So that means we got to prepare that ahead.
Right. And if you're at, an event like a county fair that lasts 7 days, and you've got some downtime on day three, follow up on the leads that you got day one. Take a few minutes here and there. The money is in the follow up. If you're just sitting there with the drawing slips 2 months later, you've wasted your time and you've wasted your money.
The money is in the follow up. Well said. Kay, thank you for that and great tips. Thank you.
You bet.
So, Cheryl, I am curious to hear about your experiences with exposure events that you've done throughout your career. I know that you really got Michi going with events as well. So what are some lessons, Cheryl, that you have learned about events, beginning with where our listeners can look to find events? I love your thoughts and advice on this one.
Thanks, Beth. Yeah, some great events can come out of searching the internet, looking for vendor events, church bulletin boards, networking with other direct selling companies. I'm out of breath. I had to run out of my office. Other networking companies to be able to find different locations. Community fairs are another really big one. So these are definitely searchable via the internet.
Yes, and I think sometimes we forget. It's just, let our fingers kind of do the searching for, just Googling in. Like you said, vendor fairs, craft shows, you can get all across the country, but, of course, narrowing it down to your own area. I know, Cheryl, that I used to go into like the Joann Fabrics and the Hobby Lobbies and the crafter type of stores, and I'd look at their bulletin boards because oftentimes they would post upcoming events and the contact person at the crafting stores And they would post upcoming events on their bulletin boards. So, you know, I think if we keep our eyes open, but keep our fingers moving, and I appreciate, you know, your reminding us where to look. And other direct sellers can be a good avenue, asking other, you know, our peers, networking that way. I love that. Now, Cheryl, when you get to an event, what have you done? What has your experience done as far as setting up your display and you know, keeping things fun that way too?
Well, I think the most important thing about your display, as Kay says, it does really need to be simple. You don't want to go into an event where people can't navigate around your space. So one thing that I like to do to draw attention to the booth is lots of balloons. People can see those from a distance, and they kind of want to know what's going on over there. So that's a really fun thing to do, as well as some little string lighting that you can simply get at Walmart or Marks or Target if you have access to electricity. Mm-hmm. So you want to keep it neat. You want to keep it functional. People need to see your product. Our product is a product that must be demonstrated for people to understand it. And so you want to make sure that you are out in front of your table. I think one of the biggest taboos or failures that a representative might find in events is the fact that they never get up out of their chair. So you want to be on the move. You want to be professional. You want to be greeting people and bringing them into your booth by showing them your product.
Perfect. And I'm telling you, that's one of my big that's one of my big mantras too, if you will, Cheryl, is don't sit in the chair.
Definitely not.
You're up and you're right, greeting them, you know, because here's my husband and I were at an event recently. We were just walking the event, and it's funny, Cheryl, I know you know this too. You find two different types of, you know, booth displayers, the ones who sit looking at their texts, not even making eye contact. I mean, come on, we're not even stopping at that booth. Even if they
exactly.
had something I wanted, I wouldn't. Then you have the complete opposite, and I know you know these folks too, Cheryl, who accost you in the aisle, and you feel like you can't get away from them. So I like how you do it, how you mention stand beside your table, have something in your hands, whatever your product is that you're showing. Maybe you have to kind of demonstrate. Omichi purses need to be demonstrated. That's what your product is. But, you know, whatever it is that you're holding something and that you make eye contact and that you – I love how you say you ask a question of that person, you know, who's kind of walking up. You know, how are you enjoying the event? That's one of the things that I think engages. How are you enjoying the event? You know, what have you seen that's been interesting? You know, and I know you oftentimes ask, you know, have you heard of Michi? You know, get them involved, ask questions. I love that.
Absolutely. You definitely want to be engaging with somebody instead of, like you said, just accost them with your product. And and that's not what people are looking for. They're looking for a relaxed venue to shop and to see. And you really need to be respectful of that. You want to have that a professional attire. Yeah. A lot of direct selling companies do sell logo wear items. So if so, I would encourage you to do that and dress for the event. You don't want to underdress. You don't want to overdress because you do want to be approachable. So a name tag or any kind of company logo wear item is perfect for such things at an event.
Oh, that is great advice. I love that because then, you know, even if you're walking to go to the restroom and you've still got your logo wear on, you know, people would know, oh, I got to follow her. She's got the, you know, the booth that I want to see or whatnot, and your name tag. Bingo. Now, what do you do, Cheryl, at your, you know, booths to get their contact information, drawings, raffles, those kind of things?
Well, I do agree with Kay. The main purpose of an event is not to replace the home parties themselves. This is to help you build or beef up your actual contact base. Some companies allow you to sell an inventory and some do not. It doesn't matter because an event can go ahead and it could reach out along all direct selling companies. So for leads, I do mine a little bit different. One thing that I find is very helpful or useful to me is business cards, magnet business cards, logoed pins, you know, things, mini catalogs. A lot of companies are now coming out with mini size brochure catalogs to give a sampling of their product. So these are great things when somebody comes up to me and I ask them if they have heard of the company, give them a little bit of quick history and and demonstration of that product, and then let them know that I have a raffle item there. My raffle item is usually a little bit more substantial to help me generate those leads, and it's usually demonstration product that I've already had with the company. So then as they fill out their door prize slip, I will give them a little token of my appreciation, which might be my business card on a magnet or a pen with my logoed information on it. Just something for them to keep in their purse. Mm. So hopefully when they pull that back out, they'll be like, oh, you know, I remember seeing this lady here. Mother's Day coming, what a great gift. But the key is definitely, definitely in the follow-up. And I think Kay nailed that and loved her ratio of the time that you spend with the follow-up.
Yes. Well, and again, getting those leads and making sure that you have something that they can take with them. I love that magnet business card, Cheryl, because that's very cost effective, but you know, very effective for the person. And I have to mention too, when you talked about decorating the booth with balloons, that just makes me smile. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're so right that it's inexpensive, but it is high impact. And then little lights, little white lights or whatnot, if there's access to electricity, love that. That's just some fun things that anybody could do. So, Cheryl, great, great ideas. I so appreciate those ideas.
Beth, can I jump in just really quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just love what Cheryl said about, you know, being in front of your table or next to your table. So many people do what you said, and they sit behind their table. They never look up. They've got their eyes buried in a book, well, maybe a Kindle these days, or their phone checking their text. You need to be able to look up. You need to stand up. You need to engage the person that's walking by, even if it's just a smile. But it's better to do, like Cheryl was suggesting, compliment them. You know, hey, I love the blouse that you have on. I love your shorts. Your shoes are really fun. They'll remember that. They'll want to come in and talk to you because you're making it more personal rather than just accosting them with, hey, have you heard of my product before?
Right. Right.
And
absolutely.
Then,
yeah,
absolutely. And then as far as giving things away, you know, the mini catalogs are a great idea. I personally use old catalogs because we can get them less extensively through the company. And what I will do is I will just hand out old catalogs or old recipe books, and I'll say, you know, this isn't our current catalog, but it gives you a flavor of what we have to offer.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, I used to make labels that I'd stick on old catalogs that would say, for current availability, please contact me at da-da-da, so that they knew it was a good sampling. So great, great input, guys. I appreciate that. We have a third member of our panel that we want to hear from today. And Dawn, you have 30 years in direct sales, and not only have you participated in a myriad of events yourself throughout your career, but now as a top-level leader, you are responsible for teaching and coaching your team members on how they can have success at exposure events. So what are some lessons that you've learned that you can share with other team leaders who are listening in on this call as to how they can help their team members to have success at events?
Oh, well, first I want to say that Kay and Cheryl nailed so many of the things that I was going to share, so which I think is kind of interesting. That's great, though, because basically it's very basic. There are just a few points that you need to remember, and anyone that's listening is going to come away with a myriad of ideas and quite an arsenal of information. But I think as a trainer of consultants, especially new consultants, direct sales, as we know, is a people business, and the beauty of that is there are millions of people. But a new consultant will often quickly run out of leads, run out of family, and they'll say, I don't know who else to contact. I don't know where to go to meet people. And so vendor affairs are the perfect way for them to meet a lot of people in a short period of time. So I have a list that I email or review, and I have a before, during, and after, some pointers in each of those categories. Again, some of them were covered. I'll elaborate on them maybe a little bit, but one of the things that we find very important, Beth, is before signing up, ask the event coordinator where, when, how this event is being advertised, because again, is it new consultants, new teammates, excitement and enthusiasm and success are so important. And if they walk in blindly and they do a few and they're not successful, they're deflated, they don't want to try again. So when we share this, I tell them, just like Kay said, your time away from home and business, this is time away from home and business. And so it's very important that it be effective time. If a church only advertises in a Sunday bulletin for 2 weeks, that's a red flag that this may not be an event that is going to bring you a lot of contacts. Any event should be advertised outside their own crowd. They can be through local papers, flyers, or even on the radio. Some of them are. If they're not investing in the advertising, then be wary about investing in a table for their event. And you can ask the coordinator. If she answers those questions quickly, then you're in good shape. If there's hesitation or if this is maybe only the first or second year the event is going on, I'm not saying that you should not pursue it. I'm just saying no going in, that you may not meet as many people as you would if it's being advertised well or it's got many years of success. You can even ask them on average if they say this is the 10th year, 8th year, 9th year, how many people on average do you have walking through? It will help the consultant plan better. And again, they'll know that they're going to meet a lot of leads. We also try again, you know, it's hard now. There are so many jewelry companies, food companies, candle companies, home decor companies. And so I tell them, make sure when you get there that you set up to where there's some different products in between you. You don't want to be smack next to the same type of product. Let people get a little bit of a break before they approach your table. During the event, you guys talked about this. I agree 100%. Zig Ziglar has a great comment about how you dress, and he always said if people walk away and say, wow, did you see that suit she had on? That had to cost $300. You have failed. And conversely, if they walk away and say, oh my goodness, she certainly could have done better than that, you have still failed. So basically, you should be neat, clean, polished, a little above the crowd, but not stand out so much that they're noticing what you're wearing. You should does that make sense?
Yes.
And I Absolutely. Love the logo product, and we tell them, you know, name tag and just anything that they're going to look professional, but that you want the attention drawn to them, personality into the product, not necessarily to all the jewelry or how gorgeous they look, unless that's something that they're marketing, then that would be completely different. I'll set up the table. Again, half your display, not the whole shebang, half the display, high-end items, and of course, our sample would be smelling candles, so we'll have our candle stackers there so that people can smell, and even that can be overwhelming. We've got enormous selection of fragrances. So I may tell a consultant, just take the seasonal fragrances. And then as the other ladies have said, you know, if you want to see more or smell more, we can certainly do that when you have your girls' night in or a coffee brunch. I'll be glad to bring more of my fragrances and accessories with me. Now, we do encourage a raffle, and we suggest a raffle of a beautiful item. Most of us, and again, these ladies mentioned, most of us have product that we have slightly used or have never used that we've received for free. If it's sitting on a shelf, it's just sitting there costing you money. And so, again, I tell them, make that front and center, make sure it's nice and shiny, and it's something that women look at two or three times, and then with your door, the door prize slips or the little contact slips. But I agree with the ladies. Make sure you're speaking to people. Come out around the table. Talk, ask questions about them. What do you do when you're not at a vendor affair? Have you heard of my company? Have you heard of Party Light or Dove? When was the last time you saw some of our new products? Now, we have an opportunity with Party Light that not everyone has, but that other direct sellers can create. We've got little boxes called tea light totes where we can insert a tea light or two. We have a fragrance of the month that is paid for by the company, and we also have a customer brochure that has a $5 off a $30 internet order. So I encourage the ladies to take a basket full of those, but to trade them for information and let them know that they are getting the fragrance of the month in this little tea light tote, and that there's a coupon for $5 off a $30 order should they love that fragrance, but that also Party Light has asked for feedback. Would they be willing to answer a few questions in the next 24 to 48 hours on how long the tea light burned, how strong was the fragrance to their liking? And I always, you know, we kind of joke and smile and say, I'd love to trade you this tea light and coupon if you will give me the courtesy of answering the phone or returning my call. Would you do that for me? And most people will smile and say, sure. And there's not 100% success rate. We know that. But at least you're planting the seed that you are going to be following up and that you want the information so that that candle or that fragrance or whatever it is that you're marketing, your company can get the feedback on that. So anybody can create that. You know, again, you can give little samples to take home. You can create a little coupon with your web information or have them contact you. You can create these things. And people are so much more willing to share their information when you're actually handing them something to try and your information. And so basically, again, and I have, we tell them, I keep your cell phone charged. There's going to be downtime. Mm-hmm. Just as Kay said, and Cheryl, we both love that. Make some phone calls when there's downtime. Mm-hmm. But more than anything, you are marketing your product, but you're marketing yourself. If you're likable, people will want to speak with you. If you come out from around the table, extend your hand first. Give your name first. Ask questions about them. You will be likable. And if you're likable, then there's kind of no stopping you. And then the only other point that I have, again, is after the event, I tell my team, send a thank you note and give a small gift to the event coordinator. So they remember you for the next time. Mm-hmm. And as these ladies said, follow up with all contacts within 48 hours, no exceptions. And I just want to reiterate that if you don't follow up, you have wasted your time.
That's
you
right.
could have been, absolutely, you could have been holding a show or even doing something with your family. Time is time. It's precious. It's irreplaceable. So if you're going to make the effort, then most definitely follow up.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Dawn, great advice. I love what you mentioned early on about asking those questions of the event organizer to get a feel for the marketing that they are doing and, you know, how long the event's been ongoing. And I agree with you, just because it's the first time event doesn't mean it won't be successful, but I agree with you, those red flags go up if it's a very limited level of marketing that goes out versus those that do have a variety of ways. It's on a website, it's, you know, advertised on the radio, it's in the paper, and they have flyers and they're posted all over the town and such. So I think that's great pre-work for a rep or for a consultant to do. And I also love the thing that you mentioned kind of close to the end of your comments when you mentioned give a little thank you gift to the organizer, because if it was a great event and you feel good about that, you know they'll probably do another event next year, or sometimes groups do them twice a year. You want to make sure that you're one of the favored, you know, who get a good table spot in the future, and that they remember you and that you give a sincere thank you. And I'll bet a lot don't do that. So, you know, of the other vendors, they're just so tired when it's over. They just, you know, they just want to pack up and go. But boy, that's gracious. And we want to be known as those who are gracious. I also appreciate the fact that you said, not only as the others have said and I've echoed, get out from behind the booth, but extend your hand. You know, when you extend your hand in greeting, you know, then that, boy, that warms up a conversation right away. So great advice. I can see why your team does so many events, because the coaching for them is so spot on. So I know, Dawn, that has helped a lot of leaders who may be thinking, gosh, I don't do so many events at this stage, but boy, I have to coach my team to do them, especially those new folks, and that's just some terrific advice to help them with. So thank you. With all the terrific information on exposure events that was shared today, I think that our listeners, ladies, are going to be downright dangerous this season at their events and see success in new bookings, new recruiting, just new leads. And so to Kay Thibodeau and to Cheryl Sandquist and to Dawn Corey, thank you so much for your generous advice on this most timely, relevant topic. And I just want to encourage our listeners to, right now, to stop and design an action plan of 3 or 4 steps to take this week, even today, to get started on changing what isn't working or hasn't been working at your events, and start seeing results that you really do want, because what you heard today works. These ladies do it. They know it. They get the results, and you will too. You know, it's been said that the woodcutter who stops to sharpen his axe cuts more wood. So thank you for stopping by our Lessons with Leaders conversation today to sharpen your axe with these great ideas. And be sure to check back for future conversations with more direct sales experts right here at spiritofsuccess.com. And be sure to check out the direct sales business coaching details also on my website. Now is the perfect time for you and for me to partner together to help you finally reach those goals that you have been striving toward but falling just short of. Business coaching is here to help get you over that finish line. Well, now that your axe has been sharpened, it's time for you to start chopping wood. So until our next conversation, this is Beth Jones Shaw. Thank you.